Hard to complain when you think about how you've been blessed. Amen? And I know. We got a lot of problems. Got a lot of problems in this nation. Got a lot of problems in Christianity. I know, man, churches are full of hypocrites. But so's the grocery store, and you still go there. Amen? And so's Walmart. Praise God, I know you go there. And so I would just soon take God's people with all the warts and do something for the glory of God than I would sit back and critique everybody, right? About this church does this and this pastor does this. I don't have time for all that. You get busy about God's business, you won't have time to critique everybody. Brother Whitaker, that's, you know what? We're the only people that shoot our own and bury our own. And we're in a war. We're in a fight against the devil and his crowd, and we're shooting each other. And when you just stop for a little bit and think about, you know, as we were out there in Buffalo, Wyoming, and Brother Jimmy mentioned over and over about our church. So, man, if you're ever out that way, you need to stop by there. They'll love on you and take care of you. And, man, it's a great church. There are places all over the world that would love to have what you and I have here. They would. And so we better get thankful. Just be thankful about how good God's been to us. And I get it, even as a pastor. Man, I've sat in meetings and... Boy, you sit around at lunch with preachers' fellowships. That's one reason I quit going, because they'll get around and gripe about their people. Well, number one, they're not your people, right? They're his people. God called me to be the under-shepherd, to look after this flock, but you're not my people. And, boy, I'd hear, "Oh, my people don't do this, my people don't do that." And I thought, well, that's on you, man, right? You're the under-shepherd. Sheep follow a shepherd. And so if they're not doing that, that's on you. And so they'd gripe and complain. I thought, boy, I don't want to be around this crowd. Because what happens is that spirit gets on you. You get around critical people, that spirit gets on you. And all of a sudden you start criticizing, right? And it's easy to do. Whether you're on a job, right? Well, them people up in the, in the front office, they don't know what's going on. They never come out here where we're at. Well, I guarantee this: if you put you in the front office, you'd bankrupt the company. See, and Brother Jeff Poole and I played ball together. Hey, there were all kinds of times we'd sit and gripe about the coaches. They don't know what they're doing, but I guarantee if we was coaching, well, we might have won a few games, but that's not what we got paid to do, right? So you better off just to worry about your garden, keeping the weeds out of it, right, and finishing. A lot of people start, few finish. Start well, finish well. Amen. So this morning, Luke chapter number 9, and we're going to begin in verse number 49. Verse 49, and let's stand together as we respect the reading of the Word of God. Thank you for being here today. Boy, I appreciate the song. Young people, thank you for doing that. And it encouraged me. If it didn't help you, it helped me. And I need to be helped too. Luke chapter 9, verse 49. The Bible said, "And John answered and said, 'Master.'" Now, I want to say this. With what comes out of John's mouth, I would expect this out of Peter, wouldn't you? Peter's the one who always said the wrong thing. But it shows you, John the beloved, the one whom the Lord loved, even John sometimes said some things that, why? Because sometimes we forget, right? And so the Bible said here that John answered and said, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followeth not with us." Jesus said unto him, "Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us." And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messenger before his face. And they went, entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Notice this, "And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Notice that. You don't know what spirit you're of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what we've already experienced here this morning. Speak to our hearts through the inspired, infallible word of God. And we'll give you all the glory, the honor, praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated. So one of the keys to running a race, I would assume, is knowing where the finish line is, right? And realizing that along that journey that there's going to be some times when you don't feel like finishing. There's going to be times when you physically don't feel like it. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you don't feel like it. But we need to finish. Can we agree with that? And so this morning, as we think of the disciples, they had been up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember that a few weeks ago, they'd come down. They had tried to cast out the demon. They couldn't do it. And Jesus said, this only comes by prayer and fasting. You think it by that point in time, there would be some humility about them to say, hey, we don't have it all figured out just yet, right? But the problem is they're human. They're like you and I, made out of the same stuff we are. And here's another lesson that the Lord's trying to teach them, and that is that we are to focus on the finish. Now, you can start well, and many start well. I've met so many Christians, Brother Brad, when they get saved, man, they're on fire for God, and they're at every meeting you go to, and they're at prayer meeting, and they want to sing in the choir, and they want to help any way they can, but something happens. They get tired, they get weary, they're saying, you know what, let somebody else run. Now's not the time to stop. Now's not the time to give up. Now's not the time to throw in the towel. Now's the time to pull yourselves up and finish. I was reading a book I'd asked our staff to look at, and it's by a man named David Goggins, and his story was that he was overweight, big time, big guy. And he said one night he worked as a pest control guy, and he was out spraying. And he said every night he'd come home and he'd stop by the taco place and stop by the convenience store, and he'd get, I don't remember how much he'd eat, but man, I'm talking about he'd eat and eat and eat and eat. And so he'd gotten really big. I mean, really big. And so he said he was sitting there one night and he saw a commercial on TV for the Navy SEALs. And he said, you know what? I think I'm going to do that. Think about how outrageous that is to go from being a huge, ginormous guy to all of a sudden say, I'm going to be a Navy SEAL. And so he went to the recruiter, and the recruiter said, hey, you're going to have to do certain things to be able to even qualify to even be considered. And it was outrageous. He was going to have to lose like 100 pounds in just a couple months. And the guy said, I guess he thought, well, if I give him that, he won't do it. Well, he did it. And so anyway, he goes on, and he went through SEAL training. He broke his, I think he broke his leg one time. He went through it three times. He wouldn't quit. And so then after he went through that, he goes through all these physical challenges. One's called an ultimate race where you have to do 100 miles in 24 hours. I don't know anybody would want to do that. World record in pull-ups. I think it was like 2,400 in 24 hours and just all this. But I said all that to say this. He said, it is proven that when you feel like that you are completely exhausted and you're out of steam and there's nothing left in the tank, you've only exerted 40%. Think about that. When your body is telling you you're done, you're history, you still got 60% left in your tank. Now let's equate that to living for God. I mean, you may be here this morning and say, you know what, I'm done. I've had all I can take. I'm tired of the devil beating up on me. I'm tired of all, you name it. You fill in the blank wherever you are. You're at 40%. 40%. Can you keep going to the finish line, right? Can you keep going? Sure you can, but it's going to take something in here, right? It's not going to be your physical strength. It's not going to be willpower. It's going to be a moving of God in your life that says, you know what? I remember the Mount of Transfiguration. I remember God showing himself faithful. I remember who God is, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's all that's going to keep us going. So here these men have seen God do amazing things in their life, and after the dispute between the disciples of who is the greatest, remember that? He reveals the same issue. John mentions someone who was not doing things the way these disciples were doing it. They had gone from Jesus rebuking them to say, quit worrying about who's going to be the greatest in speech, to now they think in their attitude. Right? Because here's what they were saying. They're not doing it like we are. Do you want us to rebuke them? Now I'm going to give you something this morning. Maybe it will rub you wrong. Maybe it won't. You better quit following everybody on your social media. Because here's what I see. I see some young preachers coming up, Brother Whitaker, that hadn't done nothing. And they got it all figured out. And I see a lot of Christians that are following them saying, tell it, brother, tell it, brother, tell it. If you ain't been in the battle, don't tell me how to win the war. That man right there, Noah Fry, Brother Whitaker, man like you, I'll take all the advice they give me. But some snot-nosed kid that's been pastoring 2 months that hadn't even got his feet wet yet, I ain't going to listen to him. Don't get mad at me. I can see it in some of your face, preacher. Y'all not say that. No, I'm saying, they can do what they're going to do. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, but don't tell me I'm doing it wrong when you don't even know. I'm not going to tell you you're doing it wrong. Do your thing if that's the way God leads you, but quit trying to fix Christianity when you don't even know what you're talking about. And that's where they were. The Lord's saying, look, if they're not against us, they're for us. Leave them alone. Do your thing. Quit criticizing and let them do their thing. Amen. You getting it? So here, they focused on now and not the finish. Listen to me. Time out. Listen up. We're all going to have the opportunity to tell the Lord why our way was right. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. So you're going to have your opportunity to finish well and say, Lord, I did all this. And we're all probably going to hear the same answer. You didn't have it figured out. So if we're wise, we'll stop critiquing, stop criticizing, and focus on the finish. You have a race to run. I have a race to run. You need to, and I need to focus on our finish, not on everybody else's race. Listen, remember John 21, when Peter, the Lord asked him, said, hey, now are you going to feed my sheep? He said, yeah. He said, do you love me? And Peter said, you know I do. He said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my lambs. He told him that 3 times. Then when it's all said and done, Peter still didn't get it because he looked at John. He said, well, what about him? What's he supposed to be doing? He said, if I want him to just sit there, what's that to you? Let me break it down to good redneck English. Ain't none of your business. Ain't none of your business what I tell him to do. Do you do what you're supposed to do? You worry about your race. You worry about glorifying God in your life and let me handle the rest. You with me? Praise God, some of you woke up. See, we got to focus on the finish. Don't worry about the race, focus on the finish. So how do we do that? How do we focus on the finish? Number one, watch, keep your eye on the target. Look, the Bible said in verse 49-50, John answered, said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbid him, because he followeth not with us. Hey, you know what they're saying? Our camp is the right camp, and we told them you're doing it wrong. We got on our social media, we got on the internet, we got on TV and said, no, you don't do it that way. You do it like we say. He said this, and Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. So, number one, keep our eye on the target. How do we do that? Notice their criticism. When we take our eyes off of the target, we start to look too much at what others are doing. When you take your eye off the target of pleasing God, You take your eye off the judgment seat of Christ, what happens is we start comparing ourselves to others, right? Well, Brother Matt didn't do this. Brother Tim didn't do this. And I did this, so I must be a better Christian. Here's what you do. Ready? You want to compare yourself to somebody? Compare yourself to the Lamb of God. Nobody else is going to match up to him. You're not going to. I'm not going to. We'll always find someone that we are a quote-unquote better Christian than they are. But I promise you this, when you match yourself up against Jesus Christ, you'll never come to that standard. So when we take our eyes off the target, we start looking too much at other people. We elevate ourselves and criticize others, right? I've learned some things. Brother Brad, go out west, go different countries. They don't do church just like we do it. They don't. It's all right. They're not compromising. They just don't do it exactly like we do it. Now, I'd be dumb to go out there and say, all right, now, out here in Wyoming in the west, you need to match the standard of a North Carolina church. This is how we do it. This is how you're supposed to do it. You don't have Bible for that. But when I take my eye off of Jesus Christ, I start looking and say, well, this guy ought to be doing this, and this church ought to do it this way, and this pastor ought to do it this way. And if you're not careful, you'll do it in your life. Yes, right. Amen? This church, they don't sing the right music. They don't have discipleship. They don't have soul winning. Listen, that's not between me and them or you and them. That's between them and God. Listen, if you're not knocking on 100 doors a week and you're going to criticize the church for not going soul winning, you're a hypocrite. You worry about you. Let God worry about them. Hello? One guy said this, mind your own business, you'll never be out of work. So here it is. How do we focus on the finish? We got to keep our eyes on the target. How do we do that? We stop criticizing. Also, notice this. Notice his command. The Lord said this. And Jesus in verse 50, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. So, here's what he said. Ready? Stop. He didn't explain it all. He just said, stop. That ought to be enough. Well, no, preacher, I need to understand exactly why the Lord said that. No, you need to obey. That's what Christians, we need to learn, obedience to the Lord, obedience to the Word of God. You don't have to know all the ins and outs. You just need to do what God tells you to do. And then as you do that, he will reveal some things to you. So he said this, he stopped them, he silenced them. He said he may not do it the way we do it, but he isn't wrong for the way he's doing. He's not compromising. Look what he's doing. The Bible said, we saw one casting out devils in thy name. Well, let's go back. Wonder, Brother Tim, if maybe it wasn't a little jealousy. Because remember, Brother Whitaker, they had tried to cast some devils out. And they couldn't do it. And so we typically criticize someone who is doing something that we cannot do, right? Getting quiet again. Help me out. So how do we finish well? We keep our eyes on the target. You keep your eyes on the Lord. You keep your eye. I think I've told it before about the lady telling the pastor, well, this guy over here in the church, he's not doing this. This lady, she's doing this wrong. And all of a sudden he said, go get your glass of water. And she did. And he said, I want you to do this. I want you to get that glass of water and I want you to fill it as high as you can. Won't you walk around the church? Don't spill a drop. So she's walking. She's looked at that water. Got her way around the church. And said, did you see the picture on the wall? She said, no. Did you see this, that, and the other? She said, well, no. She said, why? She said, because I was focused on that water. You know what happens when you focus on the water? You don't see the other stuff. You focus on Jesus, guess what? You don't see the other stuff. You lose your focus, you become critical, right? You lose your focus, all of a sudden, you stop focusing on the target. Now listen, folks, the Bible said we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's your target. Now you take your eyes off that, you're going to get messed up. And you're going to get messed up because you'll start criticizing, you'll stop obeying the Lord's command, and therefore we'll stop focusing on the finish. So number one, keep your eye on the target. Number two, avoid the ego trap. Let me say it again, slower. Avoid the ego trap. Let me say it again, medium speed. Avoid the ego trap, right? I'm not going to say Lego or ego. Right? I said ego. And the Bible said here in verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face, and they went, entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, and they did not receive him. They did not receive him. Why? Why did they not receive him? Because here it is. They had, Jesus had a resolution, all right? He was focused. What I mean by resolution was this. The Bible said steadfastly set. In other words, he was focused on the finish. Remember this? Jesus said he's going to Jerusalem. Why? Because he is going to die on the cross. That's why he came to earth. That's why he came here. He didn't come necessarily to heal the sick, to make the lame to walk. He came to die. Now, I'm glad he did all those things, amen, but he was focused on one thing, and that was the cross. He was focused on the will of God for his life. He was focused on dying on the cross so you and I could go to heaven. And so he had a resolution. How do you avoid the ego trap? Remember, they kept wanting to set him up as king. They kept saying, listen, we want to set you up as king. And he said, no, I came to do the will of my Father. So here it is. He would not be deterred, but would focus on the finish, and the finish for him was Jerusalem. Now you got to understand something. The devil has many tools. He will do so many things to get you distracted. Criticism is one of them. You know what? Watch this. Criticism on this side, confidence on this one, right? Apathy on this side, attitude on this side. So how do you avoid the ego trap? Jesus, think about who we're talking. We're not talking about Peter, nor we're not talking about John, Brother Matt, who said, hey, we rebuke these guys. We're talking about the God of creation. He would not be deterred. He would not be distracted. He would not be removed from the path of God. Now, here's my question. Will you? Brother Whitaker, I've been doing this a while, and you've been doing it longer than I have. I've seen a lot of folks start out well, didn't finish well. I've seen a lot of them, praise God, that got saved, got in church. I'll do anything. I remember one lady, listen, we hadn't been pastor long. She said, here's what she said. She said, Pastor, I love you. I love your family. As long as you're a pastor in this church, I will never leave. 3 months, couldn't find her with the FBI. Been here 19 years. She's never darkened the door of the church again. I've seen a lot of folks, man, they start out gung-ho for Jesus, but it doesn't take long to fizzle out. Remember Peter said this, Lord, all the rest of them forsake you, I'll never do it. How many of us have done that? Hey, listen, everybody else, every other independent Baptist church in America might fold, but praise God, we're going to stay with you. If you're not careful, you'll be the one folding. Better have a resolution. That resolution is not a New Year's resolution. That resolution is I'm going to follow Christ. Boy, the ego trap of religion. Look at this in verse 52, 53. The Bible said he sent messenger before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Look at verse 53. And they did not receive him. You know why? Because the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. They hated each other. Remember the Good Samaritan, the story? Jesus, used that illustration because he knew that those Jews hated the Samaritans so bad, and he was trying to use the illustration of, here's a man that was hated by this guy, but because of compassion, because he was like Christ, he stepped out and did what he was not expected to do. And here it is, Jesus is wanting to go, get this, to the Samaritans. The Bible said in verse 53, they did not receive him. Jesus would go through Samaria but was not welcome. That sound familiar? Sounds like our country, doesn't it? Sounds like our churches. Sounds like our homes. Sounds like our lives. Lord, when I'm ready for you, I'll call for you. But no, he's coming through now, praise God. He's passing by your way this morning, and he's beckoning us to come to him. He's beckoning us to come and fellowship with him. And if we're not careful because of our religion. You ready for this? Religion sends people to hell. Relationship with Christ sends people to heaven. You can be religious, not go to heaven, but you cannot have a relationship with Christ and not go to heaven. You with me? So here, part of the division between the two groups was religion. We do it this way, we do it this way, and they miss salvation because of their dogma. Religion often causes division. I ain't talking about Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. I'm talking about do you know Jesus? See, we don't have to agree on everything, but there's certain things we have to agree on. Right? So, religion is not what we're talking about. We're talking about relationship. So, that ego trip, I can see him. We do it this way. And if Jesus does not do it the way we think he should do it, we don't want Jesus. Wonder how many churches are like that. Wonder how many times, Brother Jerry, God's wanted to do something in a church just like this and said, well, that's not how we do it. Now, we don't want to get all emotional, right? We don't want one of those emotional services where we expect you to preach. Preacher, I'll preach, man. Drop of a hat. You want more preaching? Come at 2. I'll come in here and preach to you at 2 o'clock. No. We want it during the worship hour. Who deemed it? I know exactly who deemed it the worship hour. The devil. Because once, Brother Danny, once that hour hits, there's an internal clock in us. When it hits hour, we're going, preacher was long-winded today. Right? Start at 10:30, 11:30, better be done, or preach long-winded today. Man, you couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle some of them old circuit riding preachers preach for hours. Man, the morning I got saved, J. Harold Smith preached 3 hours. Seemed like 15 minutes. Because all I keep thinking was, man, if you'll quit talking to some men, I'm going to get down on the altar. I mean, I was ready. Hey, man. Now we're like, oh, let's just go through the motions. Let's get there. Sing a few songs. Choir sing. Try to bless me if you can. Preacher, say what you want to, but get over with. Let's have that altar call. Restaurant's calling. We don't know why we don't have a revival. Because if not careful, we get religious. Right? Up, down, back, forth, 3 songs. Oh, you done, preacher, this morning, you should call them kids up there. Brother Bob, you messed up the schedule. I like schedules, man. I like order. But I don't mind God messing up the order. Right? I don't mind him. This is all about him this morning. This isn't about you and me and whether or not we get to do what we want to. It's about him. So whatever he wants to do is what we ought to do. The ego trap of religion. Number 3, I'm done, right? Letter C, rejection. They would not accept salvation because of their religious prejudice. Then number 3, remember his testimony. Verse 55, verse 56. The Bible said, but he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. There it is. Spirit. Attitude. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. So here it is. He tells us his purpose. His purpose. What was his purpose? Jesus would focus on the finish because of his purpose. Here's what they're pushing now. Okay, and it's good. I probably didn't need to use the word push. With business and leadership and all that, they're saying this: find your why. Yeah? Find your why. Why are you doing this? Why are you exercising? Why are you eating healthy? Why are you saving money? Why are you, whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, they're saying the motivation, Brother Gary, behind it is when you focus on the why you're doing it, then that will keep you disciplined to keep doing it, right? In other words, it's a target. Why it's important to you. Jesus said this: here's my why. I'm going to the cross of Calvary to save you. Right? To save you. To save you. To save me. Save you. Save you. Save you. 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 They could do Peter, John. Remember, Peter said, "No, Lord. Uh-uh." Remember what Jesus said? "Get thee behind me, Satan." Why? Because the devil is using people to get in the way of the path of God. He'll do that with you. You better find your purpose, right? Man, I want to finish well because I want to hear the one who died on the cross of Calvary, who died for my sins, say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want something when he gives me a reward for serving him. I want to be able to lay that at his feet and bow before him and say, "Thank you for saving this unworthy sinner." Hey, you better find your why. You better find your purpose. The purpose of Jesus was not to condemn men. The purpose he had was to go to the cross of Calvary and save them. Now, what's your purpose? Oh, my purpose is I want to have a healthy and happy life. If I had that, man, everything would be good. Really? Because there's a lot of people that are healthy and have all the stuff to make them happy, but they're miserable. See? His purpose and his path. His path was led by the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible said the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them, and they went to another village. So his finish line was Calvary. Remember, he even said, "It is finished." And here's what I want to ask you in closing. Two things. One, are you keeping your eyes on the finish line? Because one day, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, one day, you're going to finish your race, right? You're either going to finish well, or you're going to limp across the finish line. Are you focused on the finish? If you're not, why? Is it that you've taken your eyes off the target? Is it you have not avoided the ego trap? Is it that you have not remembered your purpose? Because you got to figure it out. We're all different. But there's no reason we can't. I'm so tired of hearing people say, "Brother Harley, well, I used to do this, but you know what? I'm so tired of hypocrites and I'm not, it's interesting, right? Here's what I say. I'm not going to be a hypocrite, but you are. You think you've done some great thing by not serving God and staying out of church, but you named the name of Christ. And by you staying out and living like the world because you're so noble that you're not a hypocrite, you're actually being a hypocrite. I mean, if you're such a noble person, then live for Christ and give us all the example of what Christ looks like on earth today instead of sitting at home and griping behind a computer screen about all the hypocrites in church. Amen, good preaching. I mean, I'm all for learning. But I don't learn from you when you just criticize. I learn from you when you step out and take the lead and show us. Show us what it looks like. Show us how Jesus looks on earth, praise God. you're not careful, you'll not finish well because of other people taking your eyes off the Lord. That's all that matters. I'll say this, all right? 19 years in August, I've been at this church. There's been more than a handful of times in 19 years I want to say, you know what, forget it. Right? Brother Whitaker, you're a greater pastor and Christian than I am. You ever want to quit? Every Monday. Yeah, I know what he's saying. But here's what happens. We'll start saying, you know what? Man, attendance was terrible. Preached my guts out, didn't come to the altar. Nobody came to the altar, man. These people are arguing, fighting. These people are gossiping. These people are doing this. These people are doing this. These people come when they want to. Blah, blah, blah. You know what we do? Fine. Obviously, they don't want me to be the pastor, and I'm not effective, and I'm just going to quit. I've wanted to do it more than one Monday, I promise you that. Been some Thursdays, Fridays, and I hate Saturdays. The devil created Saturday. There's all this turmoil with the preacher going, man, tomorrow's the day. It's the big day. I wonder if anybody's going to show up. I wonder if the choir's going to show up. I wonder if anybody's going to get saved. I wonder if we're going to have a church split. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on in your mind. And I learned this. I got one job, to come in here and preach what God tells me to preach. And the Holy Ghost does his job, and he deals with people's hearts. Now you got to do what God tells you to do. Better just keep your eyes on him. Huh? That's right. You don't know tomorrow's coming. I have so much happiness and joy, Brother Danny, just to be able to pill my head at night and say, okay, today I did what God wanted me to. I can't control what you do. If you don't finish well, you can blame everybody in the world, but it's your fault because you took your eyes off the target. If you finish well, it's because God helped you. If you don't finish well, don't look at your mama and daddy and your grandma and grandpa and the preacher and the choir leader and the deacons and whoever else you want to, the hypocrites in the world, because you is one. You is one. Amen? You just go ahead and look in the mirror and say, it's my fault. And until you get to the place where you say, it's my fault, you'll never change. Just not going to. Blame everybody else you want to, but it ain't going to help you a bit. You can have some joy and some peace and some happiness in life, not because of stuff, but because you know that you got your eyes on the finish line and you're on the right path, praise God. That's the choice you got to make this morning. If you're not a Christian, you've never trusted Christ, there's step one, right? That's not the end, that's step one. If you are saved and you say, I'm a Christian, I've accepted Christ as my Savior, how's your race looking? Well, I'm going to start one day. Guess what? I'm going to get real with you. Your one days are done today. Don't put it off. Listen, don't give me this garbage about one day. There's people sitting in this church and others that's been one day in it to death. One day's over. Today's the day. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to get your life right. Today's the day to get on the right path. Stop looking at everybody else. And you look at Calvary and say, I'm going that way. Let's stand together. Let's stand together, bow our heads. No one's looking around. Miss Susan's going to come to the piano. You mind the Lord this morning. If you're not a Christian, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, won't you do me a favor? Won't you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me this morning? If I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Thank you. Is there another? Is there another? Be honest with God this morning. If I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Slip your hand up. Thank you. Is there another? Don't be embarrassed. Nobody's going to come to you. I want to pray for you. Is there another? All right. Second question. How's your race looking? Where are you? Have you quit? Have you not started? Are you waiting? Are you ready this morning to say, God, I'm in. I'm in. I want that joy. I want that peace. I'm in. I'm going to follow you. Father, I pray this morning, thank you for the precious souls that slipped their hand up and said, I'm not 100% sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. That took courage. And I pray that in this invitation time, give them the courage to step out.
Not that we would embarrass them, but just so we could show them from the Bible how they can know where they'll spend eternity. Lord, maybe others that didn't raise their hand, but in their heart they're not settled about their eternity. Maybe some just not running their race. Whatever the need, you deal with hearts in this invitation time. And listen, if you slipped your hand up this morning or you did not, and you would let us take the Bible and show you how you can know you're on your way to heaven, you'll just come forward. Just step out of your seat this morning. Greatest thing you'll ever know is where you'll spend eternity. Will you come? We want to help you. Listen, I wouldn't embarrass you for $1 million. Wouldn't do anything to hurt you, but I want to help you this morning. Listen, friend, don't. If you're here this morning and you're saying, well, I'm saved, but I'm not living for the Lord, you know, you're the very one that people are looking at saying he's a hypocrite. Don't be that. Man, you're a winner because of Jesus Christ. Act like it. You mind God this morning. We want to help you. We'll pray with you. We'll do anything we can to help you. You come. People are still coming. You mind God. If you need help, say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I'm not living for God. Let us help you. Let God help you this morning.